What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You are the man now, dog. 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 You are the man now, dog.
Shalom, aloha, welcome to the Man Dog Pod, the improv and conversation podcast with myself, Dan Lippert, and my co-host, who is not here today. He's sick. Let's all wish him very well, Ryan Rosenberg. It's just me. And so I've got nothing to do in the intro. Usually I ask Ryan how he's doing, but he's not here. So we'll just bring the guests on. One returning, one here for the first time. We are excited to have them both on. Starting in order of around the circle clockwise on my camera. Welcome back, Laura Chin. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
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 Let's do a Meisner hello exercise until we just figure something out.
That was really, really calming.
Was it calming?
It kept going. Yeah, it was nice. It was grounding.
Well, I think maybe my subconscious instinct was I didn't believe my first hello because we've already said hello off camera.
I know. We did a whole, like, getting to know you, how you been.
Yeah.
What's been going on with you. Yeah.
So I felt inauthentic with my.
Do you want to do one more and I'll try to do an authentic one back?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Hi, Laura.
That was bullshit.
I think I need three to get into it. Okay, wait, hang on. I need to, like, see you.
Okay. Should I leave? I'm going to leave frame. And then
oh, that's good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
I am still seeing your arm. It doesn't work for me.
Okay, I'm going all the way off.
The
okay,
I'm off.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Laura. Oh, it was the same exact one. Okay. This is why I maybe should quit acting. Do you want to try an authentic one to me since I bungled it?
Yeah. Dan!
That was like I walked in surprisingly with my shirt off or something.
You were on fire, Dan.
Yeah, your hair was on fire in that one.
Well, we have a few options and we'll plug in our favorite.
Well, yeah, edit around all of this and make it sound authentic.
And speaking of authentic.
Ooh, nice.
The least authentic human being.
The opposite of that.
You can never look Ryan. Anyone in the eye.
Never spoken a true word to me in his life. Ryan Meharry. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm glad we do have someone named Ryan here today. That was just pure luck. And I'm well. That was a good hello. It's so good that I just moved right past it.
Yeah. I was watching you guys taking notes, and I got at a game plan right away when I knew my time was coming.
It was very casual, but also like you hadn't seen him in a while. So it was nice. Yeah.
I got told, and I really felt it here, and I've become very self-conscious. I got told by a director that I am awful on the first two takes, and then I'm really, really good.
Good to know.
Who would tell you that? What kind of monster would tell you that?
It really hurt my feelings and put me in my head for a long time now.
No other way to convey that information to you. No other word
just
choices.
Unnecessary. It's also probably true for almost everyone. Like that's the whole point of the first two takes.
Some people could just show up, but yes, I agree. I cannot. I don't know what it is. I am like too in my head about too many different things. And I need to like settle in a little bit.
Was this after you were done filming? Like, you guys are having drinks, and he's like, I gotta tell you.
No, it was in the, it wasn't like during a take, but it was like, you know, Friday, we would all hang out, and he told me, like, in the process of shooting something.
That's a bad director. Bad. Bad.
He was not very able to make people feel good about themselves.
Which is kind of like your job as a director.
Some might say that. How do you deal with directing, Laura, specifically like when you're watching yourself or in scenes?
Oh, you mean like if I'm acting?
Yeah, like how are you able to trust? Because did you direct any episodes of Florida Girls?
No, I've never directed anything before in my life.
So the thing, yeah. Okay. The thing
so we had directors that came in for episodes. I was show running. So in TV, it's kind of like, you know, you're kind of like, you're kind of directing the director in TV, not so much in movies, but so I've never like been the actual director on a set before, but I've read some books and you're not supposed to tell them that they're terrible in the first 2 days.
How would you, let's say like somebody's like really struggling.
Okay, great. This is good. This is good quizzing.
Yeah.
Okay. So if someone's really bad on the first 2 takes every single time,
mm-hmm.
Every single time. I mean, that's not, honestly, that's fine. I don't even think I would notice. Because I really do think those first 2 takes are for warming up. And most people need those first 2 takes to get into it. And then if you're good on every 3rd take, you're my best friend. Are you kidding me? It's great.
Or even just like, just in general, like, and I, because I need to be on the lookout for this. Somebody's really, really struggling. And how do you approach them just like to... course correct.
I'm reading all these books about like, don't give result direction. So like, you're not supposed to be like, hey, be angrier. And like, you're not supposed to do that. That's what I'm learning. So you're supposed to go, I really love what you're doing. You're making some really interesting choices. And I see that. Maybe if you just focus a little bit more on your scene partner here and just really listen to what they're saying and really be in the moment with them. And that's supposed to work every time.
Really?
And if it doesn't work, then you got to do more things. But basically, it's all about the other person. So you're going, I think she really wants to hurt her mom in this scene. So really dig into that. You really want to hurt her, mm-hmm. as opposed to be like, be more of a bitch to your mom.
Gotcha.
You
know what I mean?
That's what I'm piecing together. Is that you're trying to go like, give them a want, a drive, a focus, something they're trying to get from the other person. As opposed to like be bitchier, which is, I've always gotten result directing. Always. People have always been like, be angrier, be sadder. But supposedly you get a better performance by saying like, I think you want him to know how hurt you are and, you know, or whatever, that kind of a thing.
That's great.
Yeah. I, to that point, I have kind of 2 thoughts. I had an acting teacher who was like I love her very much and she's very helpful. And she kind of explained to me once that like, those type of notes that you're talking about, be angrier, it's too big, it's too small. That's a director like not having the language to communicate why it's not working for them. So like as an actor, you can't actually take the note of like be bigger, be smaller, because that's not how acting works really, unless you're in a commercial. Yeah. But it's like, okay, this isn't working. And kind of what you're saying, like I need to figure out how I can reconnect to the moment to make it work. Because what the director's really saying is like, it's not working for me. I don't have an answer. And I know like 6 words that could be possible here.
Exactly. So there's literally like a list of verbs that I'm trying to memorize. That's like, you know, flirt, cajole, seduce, whatever, you know, coax, con, just all these. So you're giving them like an action as opposed to an emotion. And supposedly you get a much better performance with a verb, but I can't think of that many verbs. So I'm doing flashcards. I'm like, I know run, walk. I don't know that many verbs.
Run, why don't you try to feel like you need to run here?
You want to run and then walk. Does that make sense?
I do feel as, let me know, Ryan, I feel like you and I are similar in a lot of ways. Laura, I don't know, I'm not going to put this on you, but maybe you are too, because you do have like a director's brain. I can read when people are trying to be soft with communicating that I'm bad, and it actually puts me more in my head.
Absolutely.
Like the part where someone's like, that's great, but yeah, like I can feel them protecting me.
Right.
And it makes me feel even more defensive. Like my child self comes out and I'm like, I know it's bad. Just tell me it's bad. Like I want to like Same. Regain control of the situation, I think, at my heart. And I'm feeling seen as bad and then seen again as someone who can't like handle bad news.
Absolutely. I feel very exposed. And yeah. And also, I think like my brain kind of turns off in that moment and I'm trying to figure out what they're really trying to say. Like,
yeah.
Like it's like, I know it's not good. But they're dancing around it. So what exactly isn't good? And then I kind of like zone out because like, I'm not even hearing the words that they're saying anymore because I'm trying to like figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
I feel like I used to teach yoga and there was something when I first started taking yoga, if a teacher came over and adjusted me, you know, my ego would be hurt. I'd be like, oh, I'm not doing it right. My arm's not straight enough. You know, I'd be like, fuck you. And then when I started teaching yoga, what I learned is that you actually only adjust people who are good at it. Because the guy who like can't bend forward and is like moaning in pain, like you're not going to go over and be like, let me just give you an adjustment. You know, right. You're just going to leave him the fuck alone.
I just started doing yoga and I'm like, yeah. I'm just like, man, I haven't been getting any adjustments.
It's so true though. Like the people that are like really tight and really struggling, you're not going to come over and try to like perfect their pose. You're just going to be like, yeah, you got it. Like you're doing okay. And so I always think of that with directing and with notes. I try to take it as like, I'm doing well. He or she just wants to see a different take or they want to see something different for editing. And I just tell myself that to get me through notes as I'm like, I know I'm nailing it. Mm-hmm. And they're only coming over to make my downward dog a little more perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If that helps you guys at all.
I thought I was nailing it. I had no reason to think that whatsoever. I was like, oh, I'm not getting any, they're not coming over and fixing me, so I must be crushing this.
No, it's because you're bad. Oh, but shit. The fact that you're getting notes at acting might be because you're good and because they just want to see something different or they just want to tweak it a little bit. Because I think if you were really bad, they would just be like, oh my God, I'm never hiring this guy again. And they would know they can't give you a note because you're too bad at acting to receive a note.
You are just too bad at acting.
I think too, what was I going to say? Just like a life lesson I've learned is I feel so much of my instinct for so long has been like, something isn't working here. This person needs me to fix it, like from a directorial standpoint or a relational standpoint. And it's become almost like a cheat code to just be like, hey, what do you need right now? Instead of like, I'm going to try my best to do everything to fix this by guessing what you need. And I think that works with like probably acting too, where it's like, okay, it's feeling a little disconnected. What would you need right now to like lock in?
That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Hey, yeah. Thanks.
What would you say though, if a director said, Dan, you're bad.
Well,
if it's this director you had before, if he said, what do you need right now?
When I was shooting, because sometimes you don't know till afterwards, but like when I was shooting that movie, the Paranormal Activity movie last year, I did a scene where we did like 23 takes. And the scene, it's like a me scene. It's me doing a lot of exposition and I was doing it poorly. I felt bad. I was getting in my head and my response was to be like, I need to just like be really focused. I can't talk to people between takes. I need to think about it. But what I really needed in the moment was to acknowledge out loud that I felt disconnected and I felt bad and I was in my head. Like I needed a moment to just like take away the power of the embarrassment that everyone was watching me be bad. And I needed to just be like, hey, I'm actually feeling super disconnected right now. I'm feeling a little off. Like, what do you think we should do here? Like, I think I needed to be able to say that. And I didn't feel, I felt so embarrassed. I think that when I was driving away that day, I was like, I wish I had just stopped it and actually been more chatty with people and more connected to everybody instead of like isolating myself.
Were you like spiraling on the like in a sense, like it's like I need to focus because I'm getting more and more in my head. And
yes, I was like, I need to focus. I need to not talk. I'm scared in the scene, so I just need to psych myself up and be scared. But then I was like acting scared instead. Like I just needed to like talk to people, but I was very just like, you know, the image of what you get for probably what like Jared Leto is like on set, you know, not rude to anyone, but just like, I need to be disconnected right now. And that disconnected me from everything.
Do you think you would have known in the moment if the director pulled you aside and was like, hey, what do you need right now? Do you think you would have known? Or was that more of a drive home realization?
Potentially, maybe not that time, but now that it's happened once, I think yes.
Yeah.
I've also told a story of I had a director on a commercial who puts a bug in your ear so they can talk to you while you're doing the acting.
Whoa.
And so he, in the middle of me doing it, he would be like, oh, no, come on. No, you love her. Look at her like you love her. And it was like,
wait, this is the voice inside my head all the time. I can't imagine having two of those.
That's exactly right. It was not good for how I am in my brain. And I'm sure there's footage somewhere of me getting visibly angry at him of like, fuck, man. And like, he would just like start over and over again. And on the way home, I was thinking about that. And I was like, what I needed to do is be like, hey, this system isn't working for me right now. I'm like, I know you're not getting what you want from me, but I'm not understanding why. And I need to like talk about it. But instead,
yeah,
I got
this
like
thing out of my ear.
Yeah. And it was like a commercial where there were like wolves on set and like 100 extras. And it was like, so the director carried wolves to just scare you. It weren't for the shoot. But it was one of those things where like you start feeling all the pressure, you know? And I just wish, like, I think everything that we do on all of Earth, like Ryan, we play basketball, and I think about it with that, where you like go too fast when you have an easy shot or posting up or whatever. And it's like, oh, the whole thing is just like, you can slow down. You can always slow down. There's always like a little more time.
Yeah. It's wise.
Thank you.
All right, Dan, Laura, thank you so much. We're so excited that we've casted you guys. This Trident commercial, it's going to be killer. So basically, just do what you did in the audition. You guys are a couple. You're on the beach. You're about to go in for a kiss. You kind of notice that each other's breath is a little stinky, and you offer each other a piece of Trident gum, okay? I will be in both your ears just to kind of provide any little direction where I can. And how do you guys feel? Ready?
Yeah, I feel great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Laura, I don't know if you got my email about practicing the kiss beforehand, but I just want to get it out there.
Emails. I got your emails.
Right. We didn't get a chance to do that. So this is the first time right now.
Cool. And we've got an intimacy coordinator right here on set who will be happy to like help you guys if you guys need some blank blocking or anything like that. If you have any issues, please direct them to her.
Okay, great. I'd love not to practice the kiss. I'd love to just go right into it and just film it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Cool. Well, if you guys are ready, let's get to it, shall we?
Okay. Great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And action.
Oh, it's a little chilly out here.
Yeah, it sure is.
Dan can never get her.
So it sure is.
Where's she looking at?
Hey, cool rollerblades, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I never go anywhere without them. I'm so sorry. Can we cut for 1 second?
Yeah. Is everything okay?
No, it's just that we hear you. We can hear you in our earpiece. Yeah.
I'll be chiming in every so often for a little direction and notes and just, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but okay, just for direction, though, is what it would be helpful.
Oh, were you guys?
If you were just...
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to remember to like flip the switch.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. Okay,
you. No, that's okay. I was like, what's going on?
Oh, I know, but I didn't say anything embarrassing.
No. Just distracting. Okay.
All right. Thanks for saying something. Yeah. And so it's cold out. I give her the jacket. Then we kiss and realize we're too stinky. And then we do.
You
the
both
trident.
Kind of notice each other's breath is stinky. And I think we can lose all the rollerblading.
should I take them off?
Yeah, you know, we don't have much time.
Okay. Yeah, I told him that, by the way, before we started. I was like, I don't think he's going to go for this rollerblade thing. But
hey, you know what? We're making choices.
That was my idea. Okay. That was my idea. Okay. I just wanted to give you something
to work
with.
I'm going
to
take them off then. No, it's fine. I'm going to take them off. Okay.
All right. You guys ready? Mm-hmm. And action.
Oh, it's chilly out here.
Flip the switch here on this.
Yeah. Hey, you want my
Queen
jacket?
Queen Diva needs me.
Yeah. Oh, I would love Diva your jacket.
Needs me. You're a Queen Diva today.
Thank you.
Are you gonna get lunch? What are we getting for lunch today?
Leaning in for the kiss here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Actually, hey, here's one of these.
I don't think these two people have ever kissed once in their lives.
I'm so sorry. Can we cut for 1 second?
Yeah, let's run. That was looking great.
Sorry. I think it's the switch again, because we're hearing you talk about lunch. We're hearing you called me a queen diva, which is offensive to me as a woman. Because it's like anytime a woman has any sort of problem with anything, then she's a diva.
Oh, you know no. What I mean? Oh, so my God. No, I don't. I meant that like, okay, queen. Okay. Total diva. Like in the best.
Why don't you do the switch off now while we're not
trying to figure out this fucking thing.
Great idea. I'm wondering even if I could throw this out there. I would work well if the direction came after the take. Maybe we could take the earbuds out even. Do we need them in, do you think? Because you actually didn't give us a single note during that take while we were doing it.
Yeah, you're not watching. You're talking about lunch and you were talking to somebody next to you.
Shit.
I would love to, just get direction after the take.
Yeah, okay.
Is it that you don't want to come over here? That you don't want to get out of your chair?
Yeah, I'm still a little, little sketchy about being on set, being around people. I'm trying to, keep some space, but that's just my own personal thing.
Okay, well, we can keep them in. Just turn the switch off.
You got it.
Off.
You got it.
Great.
You
okay.
Got it.
Okay.
All right, it's off. Oh, and action.
Oh, it's chilly out here.
Yeah. It's a good thing we didn't decide to go rollerblading today.
Dan, stop looking away from her.
Sorry?
Stop looking away from her. Just keep your eyes on her.
Go from the top then, or?
Yeah, guys, I'm really struggling without the earbud in.
Well, you can turn the switch on when you have a note. Ow. We just don't want to hear about lunch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm so disjointed right now. So I'm going to turn the switch back on.
Okay.
Great.
Hey, Dan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I think just, keep your gaze on her. You don't need to look away. Just, just stay connected. You love her. You guys are really excited.
About Dan's breath. Does it have to be stinky for the commercial? Because I can act like it's stinky.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, Dan, if you don't mind just maybe chewing a little bit of gum or a breath mint or something, I didn't need you to have authentically bad breath because I can act like it's bad.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, okay? And of course I did do that on purpose today for the shoot. Yeah.
He's method.
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just chew a quick piece of gum. All right.
Thank you so much.
We're like, oh, Daniel Day-Lewis here showing up with his breath smell.
Yeah,
like,
method.
Shit.
Yeah. I was like, I was impressed. I was like, this is very method. But yeah, I don't need it. So.
Yeah, I'm actually trying also not to even get that kind of mentioned. I don't want to live in my uncle's shadow on that. I know we're both named Dan, but I that's barely even my style is his style. So yeah.
Okay.
I don't want people to think I got this because of nepotism.
No. You're like Nicolas Cage. You're a Coppola.
No one knows. No one knows.
Now you're just Dan Lippert.
Yeah. I'm also, like Nicolas Cage, heavily based my performance on the no theater of early Japanese styles and silent film and stuff like that. So,
yeah, we know.
Okay, I think I'm ready for this.
Okay,
one.
Cool.
I used a wisp. I brushed my teeth. I think I'm good.
Okay, thank you.
Nice. All right, so guys, I will switch in if we've got a little bit of direction, okay? And action.
It's chilly out here.
It's super chilly, yeah. Oh, hey, why don't you take my jacket?
Thank you.
Dan, hit her with that rollerblade shit again.
Man, it's too bad we didn't decide to rollerblade today.
Nah, it's not working.
But I guess
bail.
The weather.
Bail. Bail.
Or never mind.
And
even. Bail. Laura, you've got a book out.
I know. Well, it's not out yet. It's out in the month.
Oh, it's not out yet. Well, never mind. This will come out on...
Subject change.
When will this come out? July 1st. This episode comes out on July 1st.
Okay, great. So let me get the actual date that the book comes out. It's July 18th, I think, or 19th. I think it's 18th or 19th.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll push this episode so that it
please. Well, no, because I want people to pre-order.
Oh, okay, pre-order the book. Okay, great.
Pre-order's everything. It's the name of the game in the publishing world. You get all these pre-orders, and then they go like, "Congrats, you made it onto this list or that list or something," because people pre-order. So I didn't know this until recently.
You want to be on the pre-order list.
You hustle for pre-orders, but you want people to buy it now.
And it's called Acne, a Memoir. And is IndieBound.org the place where people should get it most?
I mean, that's like where you can buy it from your local bookstore. Okay. So it's nice. But if you, you know, Amazon also sells books and so does Barnes & Noble. But don't tell anybody I said that. And
nobody will ever know. I have... As I say every time someone that comes on here writes a book, I have like a real envy for writing books. So I'm always curious about that. It feels like such a thing to overcome.
You're green. You're green with envy now.
I mean, you can see me right now.
I mean, you're pure green.
I could have written a book same. Also is kind of what I'm saying. You know, I just don't want
to. No, totally. You can. You can right now. You can write a book. Everybody can.
Yeah.
But I relate so much. I've had that my whole life. I didn't even have envy. I had, it was like, I was in awe of it.
That's what it is.
Larger than me. And I could never, ever imagine, you know, writing a book. And I just kind of, I looked at it like very other, you know,
yes.
Like that's something that like intellectuals do. I don't know, man. I mean, I just started writing because I've dealt with acne my whole life and not my whole life, but you know, since I was like 12 and I started writing about it and I realized that like, I've sort of been dealing with acne throughout all these other things that were going on in my life, like people dying and moving and divorce and all this stuff. And I'm like just going to the dermatologist, you know? So I was like, oh, it's interesting how the acne is like a through line for my whole childhood. And people don't really talk about acne enough, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, let's talk about it.
I am very excited to read it. And yeah. It is like, what was I going to say about it? It's one time our friend Mono had this idea. I almost shouldn't even say it because I think it's such a good idea. But he was like, I want to start a blog where people just write about a thing about their body that they're self-conscious about that like most people would never, you know, think of. Or like, you know, it's those things in your life that to you defines you and you bring it up to someone and they're like, I had that never even crossed my mind.
Yeah,
about
never
you.
Notice it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it feels like such a big piece of like, yeah, acne is like such a big piece of identity, especially because you like we all generally get it at the point in our life when we both need like when we most need approval and are thinking about ourselves and our bodies and like how other people see us.
Pretty cool.
It's agonizing.
Pretty cool that's how that works, huh?
Right when you need to feel good about yourself the most is when you're dealing with it.
Yeah.
But I was dealing with it throughout my 20s and 30s. Like I'm still dealing with it. And so it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible that we're not allowed to have it, you know, like that's what's so terrible about it is that if you're like, I have cancer, you know, it's like, oh my God, you have cancer. But if someone walks in with acne, everyone's like, cover that up. No one wants to see that, you know? And you're like, it's like a disease. Like, why can't I have it? And so that was my journey with it was like learning to accept it, learning to be okay with it. And knowing that like, people are still beautiful and, you know, I can still feel beautiful. That's what the book's about. Spoiler. but it's also just about mostly about being a teenager and, you know, dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if someone knew that it was that in the end it was about feeling good about yourself and like, yeah, okay, I get it. I'm not going to read it.
I don't need that.
Not for me. Not for me.
I don't need that. People are reading it going like, did she cure it?
My book, no, exact opposite message.
What is your message? What's the message?
Shame on you.
Shame on you for having anything different about your body. All diseases are shameful.
Yeah. Right. It's all photos of the most beautiful people in the world. And then on the last page, it says, shame on you.
That's, can you just describe the Instagram? So that's cool. But yeah.
Yeah, I have... like so much self-worth around like the pretty standard thing I think in our industry and our world of just like body stuff, like just like size and weight stuff that is like, I don't know if you relate to this about acne or just in general, but I don't even realize how much it defines the way I think about myself and like the choices I make and like the way I dress or even how I buy clothes and stuff or like how I walk into a room when I'm feeling a certain way about myself.
Yeah. Like Dan and I are both very tall and I've noticed recently, it's like, man, like just like video me just moving around, walking around. It's like trying to make myself shorter, trying to like not stand out so much for being tall. Like it affects everything.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I mean, yeah, I've always been very small and very skinny and my whole family is very skinny. And so I'm always learning about that from other people's perspectives, like what it is to feel tall or big or whatever it is. I have no reality on it.
Yeah.
But I find it fascinating. And with acne, I'm just always in the mirror, like always in the mirror. Cause in my mind, I have cysts all over my face and scars and like, they're all like pus exploding from my face every second of the day. And so I look in the mirror and I go, oh, okay, it's like calmer. You know, like in my mind, it's always there. So my dysmorphia makes me look in the mirror and then I kind of calm myself down.
Oh, you like remind yourself of actual reality.
Actual reality, because it's like, it's not like when I see other people with breakouts and stuff, I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that person's beautiful. Like, I don't even think about it. But when it's myself, it's like, I'm a monster. And so it's been a lot of like inner work on liking myself more, keeps me from having to look in the mirror constantly. Because then I can just like feel good inside and I don't need the mirror to remind me that I have worth and value. But body stuff is quite common, you guys. You're not alone.
Thank you. I think I the thing I'm that makes sure it I'm really... I just hate that, like, we picked something, or I did, especially, like, the thing that I want to do the least, but I need to do the most because it makes money, of, like, commercials, where you are defined by your body and your look and your face, and there's, like, no way around it. And it's, like, they're literally asking for a body, and then they, like, get bring in 150 people, and, like, who is that body the most?
Yeah.
And it's tough to, like, even just see your... what you get asked to go in for changes if you gain weight, like, and then that changes your own self definition of like, oh, I guess I'm not a lead anymore or whatever those things are. Yeah. I'm not the first person to notice that Hollywood is that way, but it is like, it didn't used to bother me. And for some reason it does a lot more now. I don't know what changed. Like it didn't used to personally be a thing I thought about.
You don't know what changed? Did something occur?
For me, yeah, I don't know why, or it was subconscious and now I'm just more aware of it. Like,
maybe just over time being objectified over time.
Yeah.
For a long time, you start to feel like an object.
And I think growing up as a guy who does comedy and is not like a leading man, for a while you like own it and you're like, this is funny that I'm this way and this is what like is good about me and that like everybody makes these jokes about me being like goofy or whatever. And then it becomes a thing where it's like, as you said, Laura, like as you start looking inward more and it becomes more like, so much of what I choose to do has been defined by how me trying to like own a thing that I don't really feel proud of necessarily all the time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that makes so much sense. I think writing saved my life in that regard because I got to be just like, I can look any way I want to and I can still write. I don't have to be any certain way. I don't have to do anything. I can still write and I don't have to be an object. And it's quite nice.
That's interesting. Part of it is like also a bummer that we have to feel that way of like, it would be nice to like also not feel like an object with the performance aspect and like other things that are really fun, whatever, but also great that you found that outlet.
I know. I don't know how. I mean, it's like so much of the job of actors is to like sell an idea, you know, sell an idea that will keep people feeling like they're not enough, you know? So we need to have like actors that are all gorgeous and perfect and, you know, because then audiences will buy products and get surgery and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really despicable.
I mean, when I go to Thailand, it's so obvious. Like you go to like Thailand or India. Here, I'm just like totally brainwashed and I'm so used to all the fucked up shit. But when I go to a different country, It's so glaring. The billboards, nobody on the billboards looks like anybody on the street to such an extreme degree.
Really?
It's like, it's so jarring. And in order to look like the billboards, you have to change everything about yourself. Everything.
Yeah.
And it's, and all the actors on the TV shows, like everyone has lighter skin than the entire population. I'm like, what did they fly in a different race to like just be on TV and on the billboards? It's fucking nuts. And so you have to like rub bleach lotion on your skin and you have to get all these surgeries. And you have to do all this stuff to like yourself. But we do it here too. We're just used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to, I am appreciating this conversation, but I'm like, I don't have any comedy scenes on this. So,
this is a bummer. This is a fucking bummer.
It's not even a bummer. It's just like I don't have a take on it that I feel like safe doing without being like, oh, whoops, I played a character that I'm not too proud of here. But what we will do is play a little listener voicemail. We've got a nice backlog of these. And so we'll play one and we'll do some scenes off of that. Let me just share my sound really quick. All right. This one is from Josh. Here we go.
Old Josh, here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from San Antonio. So during the pandemic, my wife was a virtual teacher, and she was part of an interview process to get a new team member. And coincidentally, during this time, I lived in a pretty small house. I happened to have diarrhea. So I went outside to go shit in the woods because I didn't know how loud it was going to be. And she was in her interview and I didn't want that as background noise for her. And we have a dog, but I made sure she was far away from me, went to a secluded spot, did my business, came back in, continued my work. Then later our dog came back up to me, and apparently she had found it and rolled around in it. And I didn't realize at first, it looked like she was just muddy. I pet her. I realized it smelled real bad and, realized what it was super grossed out, tried to play it off because I was pretty ashamed that I had pooped in the woods, I guess, told my wife, I was like, hey, Eleanor's pretty dirty. Would you mind giving her a bath? But before she gave her a bath, I felt real bad about it. So I admitted what I had done and I bathed her and didn't make my wife cleaned the poop off of our dog. But anyways, good luck with that. Love the show. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Ryan, could I talk to you for a second, babe?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of my patients is coming by the house to do therapy today.
Oh, okay.
He has all these phobias, and he asked if we could not be in the office. And I just... I'm sorry. I don't want to put you in a weird spot, but sometimes in the afternoon you go to the bathroom and I think it's louder than you realize.
Oh my God, really?
Does that, yeah.
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
I'm sorry. I know, I'm sorry. I just don't want my patient to be here and you know what I mean?
Right.
Is
it like toilet sounds or mouth sounds? Because I know I'm a little loud, like I make sounds like,
Yeah. Honestly,
it's both.
Yeah, it's both. And I hear you.
I thought the fan masked
crying.
It.
I hear you crying. I don't know if it's how bad it is for you in there, but I know it's
just
bad.
Hurts,
I've
usually.
Been able to piece. Yeah, I know. I figured that out. And I would love if you could not while my patient is here.
Okay.
I would appreciate that so much.
Okay. Yeah. Like I had my usual breakfast of sketchy oysters and in enchiladas. So I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to make any promises, but
I guess what I'm saying is if you could just not eat those chili dogs.
I mean, honestly,
right,
like,
now, if you could just not eat the chili dogs and just if you can keep it together.
Yeah, you know what?
While my patient.
For sure. So honestly, like you're a therapist, I should probably just make myself scare so I don't hear anything they're saying. You know what I mean?
That would be so great. I didn't want to ask that. I know it's our home and I don't want to overstep.
Oh, of course.
I know that's not, you know, it's an hour long. So
I can make myself scarce. I'll be in the backyard. I'll put on some headphones. And if nature calls, I'll take care of it in nature.
In the backyard?
Yeah. I've got a spot.
Okay. You have a spot.
I have a spot.
You have a spot?
I've never used it, but I, you know, in case of emergency, something like this ever happened, it's like locked out because this happened.
You've never used the spot.
I've never used the spot.
You've planned,
I've planned it out. I got a spot.
Okay.
It's far away. Everything should be good.
Okay. That would help me so much. Yeah. Thank you. I know this is uncomfortable.
No, it's okay. I'll go sit out on the.
We haven't lived together for that long, and it's personal. And I just.
No, hon, it's all good. I've got. Okay. I'll take my work and I'll sit out on the patio, put on some headphones, and get to it. And if I
skip the chili dogs, maybe just since we're talking about it, you've had the breakfast, and maybe just skip the chili dogs, and you might be having.
I don't want to totally throw off my routine, but I'll bring them outside, and if it happens, compromise.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Oh, I think I see a car pulling up. I will get out of your hair. Good luck. Go fix them.
Yeah, I don't need that. That's not part of it.
Fix them.
It's not like a show. Yeah.
Go fix them.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear all about it.
Thank you. Okay, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm not supposed to talk
dope,
about it. Yeah.
Dope. I'm a dope.
It's okay. Okay.
Hi. Sorry. There was a delivery guy in front of me delivering some food, and so I just wasn't sure.
I
wanted to give him a chance to come and go.
Oh, yeah. That's mine.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. Honey, did you order something?
I ordered the chili dogs today instead of making my own. Sorry.
Oh.
I'm good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's cute. I always wondered, I always wonder about your life outside of this. I only get to see this part of you, and that's cool. He seems like a cool guy.
I'm not really allowed to talk about my personal life, but
sure, yeah, sure.
How is your fear of delivery men? Did you feel like when you gave him space, he could come and go? And
well, it was tough for me, you know. Obviously, I didn't know till later why, but my father had delivery men coming and going a lot as I was growing up, and you know, I'm always afraid that the everyone that comes by is going to be the one that leads to the whole neighborhood discovering that my father has secret relationships with men. Doesn't tell my mother, and you know, that's I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm sorry, can we close the blinds?
Yes, I'm so sorry. Yes,
is that okay?
You don't need to watch my husband eat chili dogs.
He is eating
Give
them
me one
okay because for a while he was just kind of like admiring them, and even that was somewhat distracting in a way.
Yeah, he has a lot of routines, food-based routines. You know what, I'm not supposed to get into my personal life with you. I'm just going to close.
Noticed that a lot of therapists, you know, end up dating people who themselves are somehow problematic in major ways. You know, it's almost like.
Oh, no, that's not something I'm going to talk about.
Sorry. Yeah. I think I'm deflecting because I got a little humiliated talking about myself there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's not easy to sort of dig up the past and get personal, but. You had mentioned last week that you had been talking so much about your dad, and wanted to maybe, I wanted to encourage you to talk more about your mom.
Oh no!
That if there was a place that we could start, good. Maybe at a
not good.
Maybe there's an event that you could start at where you feel comfortable talking about your mom.
I thought it was kind of funny at the time, you know, and kind of like a bit because no one would go with me. But I think going to prom with my mom was like a little bit of an odd thing ultimately to do.
Okay.
And I guess if we'll go even earlier than that, you know.
I gotta do it now.
Okay.
Ouch! 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 that hurts. Oh, oh, that hurts. 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 Stop. 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 Stop.
Okay.
Oh, it's almost over. It's almost over.
It seems like whatever's going on is almost over, at least.
Honestly, I don't want to talk about that. That's not where we're here. Sure. We're here to talk about you, and we're going to focus on you. So you went to prom with your mother, and that in and of itself can be quite traumatizing. I mean, depending on how your social group, your peers reacted, depending on how your father reacted, I imagine there might have been some...
Every day you do this to yourself! You gotta get your diet under control. You gotta stop doing it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I feel even if I wasn't distracted, you seem like really distracted. Even like just
I'm not
a problem for you.
Mm-mm. No, again, it's not about me. It's about you. And I have, yes, we all have a personal life. You know, we all have
so
quirks.
Hey, we should tell him that the dog that's comforting him, I think, just walked through the mess he just made. I don't think he knows.
Oh, no. What is this?
No, he does.
That's, you know, that's my dog. And so I don't think we should be talking about my dog. I think we should be talking about your life.
I feel like this is a bit of a extenuating circumstance, wouldn't you say?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Poor dog dealing with your shit.
So you went to prom with your mother. And let's talk about that.
She's gonna
how
leave
was
you.
That for you?
She's gonna leave you. She's a fucking doctor. She's a fucking doctor. What do you do? You fucking eat shitty food and make yourself shit all the time. She can hear it. You thought you were fucking fooling her, but she hears everything. You thought you were so cute. Thought you were getting away with it. Loser! It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to get better.
You know, like, we haven't said anything for like 2 minutes, you know? I do feel like...
And scene.
He was so ashamed of himself, wasn't he?
Oh, it was so sad. It was so dark. You do this to yourself every day.
I like that. I feel like he almost does it as a joke. Our producer, Brian, he tries to label the scenes to not, like, give away the content of them. So it just said, you know, the name of the caller was a Josh and then San Antonio. And that's not how I would have described that. Antonio felt like a very small part of it.
Yeah. Nothing about the Alamo or the Spurs. Or...
I think, yeah, Brian, keep doing it. I like the system. But let's see.
What would you have labeled it to give away everything?
Yeah, I actually don't know.
Dog eats loud diarrhea. Dog eats loud diarrhea.
Well, we generally, this one, the timing of a diarrhea call is always good, actually. But we generally, you know, like, so a lot of times we'll do like 3 scenes in a row about shit and it'll be like, all right, we can't do any more shit scenes. Let's listen to a call. And it's like, hi, I'm calling from the bathroom. And it's like, okay. We might just attract a certain type of caller. Yeah.
I like it.
What was I going to ask? Have you all ever gone to your or I don't even know if you're in therapy. We don't have to say it. I always imagine that you go to a therapist's house because it happens in so many movies and TV shows. And that to me is so, the idea of that is like shocking now. If I was to go to my therapist's house, that would be so odd for me.
Are you in?
Why?
Are you in person or?
She moved to New Orleans. So we've been doing it over Zoom. Like, she moved during the pandemic. But now she's moving back and I'm very excited to do in-person therapy again, actually. I do not like doing therapy.
She's been doing it from the front line? What is it? When they're marching down the street?
She can barely hear me. I think she's more into, touring jazz shows.
What is that called? My friend had one at her wedding.
I think it's called the front line.
Is that it?
The front line? It's like the parade
something
that
line,
happens.
I know. Yeah.
She loves big band music. I don't know what to do. I don't like it at all over Zoom. But like the idea of ever going to her place would be like, it would just be great because it's nice to not know anything. And even just I know what neighborhood you live in now. I know like how big your house is, like all that stuff. You start like doing weird math in your head, or at least I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I went to a woman's house once, a woman I used to see. I saw her for a long time. I would go to her apartment, and it was like a tiny, cramped apartment with like terrible furniture. And I was like, yikes, but she was so good at what she did. But she also told me all about her private life, too. So,
Really?
You guys became friends.
Lines are being blurred. Yeah. way too good of friends. We went and saw a movie together.
Anyway, is that true?
But she wasn't a therapist. She was a hypnotherapist, and she did like all kinds of witchy energy work. So she wasn't like a clinical psychologist. So there was just no boundaries.
Yeah, right.
But it was almost amazing because I kind of needed no boundaries in order to like raise my awareness. I needed to like wake up. I needed somebody who was going to be like, get in there, you know?
Really?
It's not for everyone. And it ultimately, wasn't for me after several years, but in the beginning it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. My therapist and I, we Zoom, and she does it from her living room. And it is, at first, it was like very distracting, like, pretty big place. I guess, she's doing pretty okay for herself. Like just doing all the math that you're talking about. and I don't think we're ever going back. Honestly, I would feel very weird going back in person now. It would, I don't know. Like I probably should, because it's like now the intimacy of it feels too weird to me.
There was something cool about Zoom that you kind of, there was like a little bit of a barrier. I felt like I kind of opened up almost more over Zoom because I was like, I'm not in your space, I'm gonna scream.
I felt a little more safe too.
That's so interesting. I'm totally the opposite. I'm like looking for any reason to not connect, I think, or not be vulnerable. And I think like the more distance you give me, like I respond a lot to like the physical responses you get from somebody, I think, and not having that makes it easier for me to disconnect.
Interesting.
And then you get to open up more when they're present with you.
I think so. I don't know. Yeah.
Have you ever done breath work?
I haven't done breath work. Tell me about it.
Oh, just like, it's like your therapist does also breath work, but they have you start to like breathe. When you start to touch on a subject that you want to shy away from, or like something that starts to feel vulnerable, my therapist, he'll just be like, all right, let's breathe into that. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Because then it's just, you're just going to be sobbing.
Yeah.
Like, let's breathe. And you just start taking deep breaths. And then you're just like, no, mommy. And you can't avoid it. It's great. It's like speeds up the process.
That sounds interesting to me. I was just thinking yesterday after playing basketball for 3 hours, we were just like chatting. It was Father's Day. Josh Simpson asked me, he was like, what was your dad like? Because my dad's been dead for like 11 years and I don't talk about him a ton around people. I got like kind of emotional trying to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I usually don't. And I don't know like why in that moment. But I think part of it was like the emotional exhaustion of playing basketball makes you like not able to be as guarded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like.
And you were like really in your body and you're running around and you're breathing and you're sweating and you're like. Yeah, you're like more connected with yourself.
Yeah, probably. Exactly.
I mean, yeah, to put up barriers, like it does take a little, you do kind of like physically steel yourself. You get a little tense, when you're just drained. Yeah, it's going to kind of pour out a little easier.
Yeah.
That's good.
It makes me wonder if I should like always do a therapy exercised. Like I should like work out and go right in so that I'm not as.
Well, that's like somatic healing and breath work and
really?
Stuff. They have you move your arms and legs. They have you like do things that get things up, that pull it up and get it up to the surface. It's incredible.
Are you the type of person who you can buy in right away? Or do you need a few of those where you're like, I am embarrassed and I am judging this? And because I think like ultimately I would do it, but I would have a few where I'm like kind of, embarrassed.
In the beginning of my like trajectory into like, self-help or whatever, I was very skeptical of everything. I was like, crystals are bullshit. I was like, everything's bullshit. And then the more stuff I did that was undeniable, the more I was like, oh God, there's so much going on here that we don't understand.
Yeah.
In terms of the body and the connection between what we're feeling and how our physical health and emotional, mental, it's a big topic. So now I'm open to anything. Like people are like, I go to this like water dragon lady who speaks to mice and I'm like, give me your number.
She sucks. You don't want her number. have you ever had a therapist like ask you, it's like, do you want to try doing this? And,
No, mine is very like, you guide it. She's like waiting for you to give her what you need, you know, which I think a lot of that is the benefit of that is it forces you to be the definer of how things are. But I do think there's part of me that needs to be pushed past my boundaries.
Yeah. That's what I needed. Because I was like, I'm fine. Divorce isn't a big deal. Everything's fine. My brother died, but I'm over it. Like, I just had all this like denial. And this no boundaries woman whose apartment I went into just like cut through all the denial. And I was just in the first session, like, daddy, like just like weeping on the floor, like broken open. And until that point, I was like, I'm fine. I'm going to make jokes about it. It's fine. The jokes will make the pain go away.
Yeah.
And it didn't work for me. I needed someone to be like, get in there. And yeah.
Wow. I think it depends on like who's like, my therapist is very good. She's good at like kind of pushing, knowing when to push, when to like, kind of like, back off. Like she pushes. I had a therapist though that like really, really wanted me to, you know, like just break out. And I felt like I was performing a little bit at times.
What
did he have me do once? He had me like close my eyes and talk to an emotion or something. Like, let's talk to shame. Let's talk to shame for a minute. Imagine shame. He's sitting right here, something like that. And I felt like, just like, I was like performing for me, like, hi, shame. I don't have to listen to you anymore. Like, and like also like pretending to be very affected by it. Like, this was working. And because I didn't want him to feel bad because
right.
he seemed so, like if I was like,
did he come in? Did he like come in and give you notes? Like, that was good. That was good. We're going to go again. And this time I want you to really feel shame. Like, you want shame to open up to you. Does that make sense?
The first few times you talk to emotions are you suck at it.
You suck at it. You're really bad at it. But that third time your performance is
awesome. I saw shame finally.
Yeah.
What is it? Do you think it's about the type of person for you that made you need to like perform it for him? Like, is there a different person who you would have been a little more able to either be like, I, this doesn't work for me, or I can't.
He seemed fragile to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, like very, very eager. And if I was like, I don't think so. Like, not for me. I think there would have been like a little like, he would have been like, oh, sorry. like disappointed. He's a nice guy. I didn't want to, I was like, sure, I'll give it a whirl. But I wanted him to have a win.
No,
that's not what you want.
That's not what you want.
Also, like, and now I just also was, this was years ago, and I was just a very emotionally unhealthy. So to get to when I dropped him, it was a long, this is like almost psychopathic, where it was like I started dropping hints like, I think I'm getting better.
Like
the breakup like took like a month and a half to a point where it's like, I think you fixed me. I think.
Oh my God. He's like, he tells stories about you, like his client who he fixed. There was one guy who I like, totally fixed.
Like, I did it. I did it.
He met shame and it all, it was all good.
He was really good on the third take.
All right, team. Look, I felt like that exercise was going to work, you know. I had read this thing about like you shouldn't even have guys play basketball if they can't even share the ball. And so I'd seen this thing where there's an exercise where you play without even a real ball and it's all imagination. And I just feel like it was so stupid and it didn't work. So I'm sorry about that, everybody.
Oh, no, Craig, I got a lot out of that. That was awesome. Like,
really?
I feel like, you know, like I connected with everyone. And like, I think we're going to see just like a way more just improved workspace now. Like, I think.
Okay. It seemed dumb to me. I don't know. Was it? You all think it's like you feel like more like a team here. You trust each other more.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally. All right.
I mean, I think like sorry, I think all the exercises were great. Like I think like our like the imaginary dunk contest.
Yeah.
Was really
yeah.
Can I just say?
Yeah, you're right.
I think maybe one of the hard things is just trying to convince you, Craig, afterward. You know that they work. Fuck. I think that's
yeah.
It's just become a little, I don't know if I'm speaking just for myself, but it's become a little bit of like heavy lifting, trying to get you to see that, that the group exercise works.
Okay. Well, no, I believe you then. I think that's, I'm so stupid. I'm making you all deal with my feelings and that's not how this
should
work.
No, yeah, you're no, right. That's not, I didn't mean that. Never mind. Stupid. Forget what I said. You're not stupid. No. He's evolving
rule.
Really great team building.
New yeah. rule. Craig's not allowed to call himself stupid.
No, that's good. That would be good. That would be great, actually.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So watching those Bill Maher new rules helped everybody. I'm glad. I feel like that was like a good little exercise. Now we've got new rules around here.
Yeah.
You guys love watching new rules.
The Bill Maher.
Yeah, that was great. I loved watching Bill Maher at home after getting home from work. That was great.
Awesome.
You know, actually,
yeah.
Since we're being honest and like, Craig, hopefully you do, you know that like, it's okay to like, you know, not every swing is a home run. I didn't
a little constructive criticism. Yeah, this is, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't love the Bill Maher new rules. I think we could have just said, let's be open to new rules around the office. And I didn't need to watch. I don't really care for Bill Maher.
Really?
Yeah. I find him obnoxious.
Yeah. I think I a lot of people don't get him feel that way. You know what I mean? Like people that don't get his jokes, don't laugh and stuff like that. All right. Oh, yeah, all right.
Well, okay, but he was just giving you a little constructive feedback. And
I'm not an idiot. I get the jokes.
Yeah.
They're just not,
anyway,
they're just
maybe,
not for me.
Maybe it's just that most of the week, instead of making boxes, which we're paid to do, has been team building. You know, yeah. Maybe that's just, we're a little tired. I kind of want to just get back to folding cardboard boxes.
Let's do it.
You know? And maybe the team building is just getting intense. All the homework and the team building is just, it's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not stupid because of that. I can't say I'm stupid. I'm not. Mm-hmm. New rule.
Okay.
But we are incredibly behind on our quota for boxes this week. So hopefully the team building will get us back in there. And I know one thing that's very exciting is today, we're all going to make our lunch instead of ordering it. And we're going to work together.
Uh-oh. We're going to make our lunch?
That's right.
I didn't bring anything from home to make a lunch.
I have no ingredients.
Well, that's okay because we'll be using, remember the community garden that we started a few months ago? Yeah. Well, I think I've been tending to it and we'll check on that and have some
herbs.
Tomatoes.
It's just herbs, Craig. It's just dill and parsley, cilantro.
But
that's shit. Oh, that sucks. We're gonna be so hungry today.
Did you not order lunch for the team? We don't have lunch coming.
We don't have lunch coming because I thought we were gonna make like an herb salad. But it's clear that that is not something you all want.
I'm just gonna eat rosemary.
Well, herb salad isn't just herbs. You know, herb salad is like a salad with herbs added to it. It's usually not just like a bowl of parsley.
I know that now.
Okay.
But I didn't in the lead up, and I'm feeling very, very, very ashamed and stupid.
No, wait. Hey, we don't say
Craig,
that.
No.
We don't say that. Look, yeah, was it not... was it a little peculiar? Sure.
Yeah, was it a little bit of a boundary overstep that you didn't check in with anybody before not ordering the lunch that we're grown very accustomed to?
It was a bit, short-sighted. Absolutely,
yeah.
But you're not stupid. Yeah. We all make mistakes. You don't need to beat yourself up.
Okay.
And was it a little irresponsible to not Google herb salad and figure out what goes into an herb salad before planning to feed 15 people with an herb salad? Maybe, yeah, it was a little irresponsible.
I feel like I had a similar type of salad at a Greek restaurant that was like mostly herbs, and I guess there was cucumber in
Greek
there.
Greek salad? Yeah, Greek salad.
Yeah,
olives,
you know it.
Feta cheese, tomato.
Feta cheese, lettuce.
A lot of stuff. That... I'm trying to think of an herb that's in that, actually.
Maybe in the dressing? Yeah. There's some dried herbs in the dressing, maybe? Yeah.
I think dill, maybe. There was some dill in the tzatziki, yeah.
Yeah, the tzatziki.
Okay, let's not get bogged down in this. Let's just...
We want to eat tzatziki, maybe. We still need a lot of other ingredients, but yeah.
But that's not stupid. It was just a little irresponsible, okay. I think.
All right, well... Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have to have 3,000 boxes by the end of the day. And so I think we should just get to the box folding stuff. And I'm going to play that Domino's commercial where the world's fastest box folder talks about how he likes Domino's. And that hopefully that'll motivate you guys because it got me amped.
Over and over again?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's only 30 seconds. So, yeah, it's not going to take the whole day.
Wait, so you're going to play the commercial on repeat while we try to work? Or is that what you say?
Motivate you?
No, that would not motivate
me. I mean, in a sense, it would motivate me to try to get done as soon as possible so I could get away from it.
Yeah, but that's what he wants. That's what he's saying. Oh. That's just going to make him play the commercial.
It's
like a torture.
It's not torture. I thought it was a good idea, and it's clear that it's not. And I'm not stupid because of it, but I'm not feeling very good about it as all. How about this? I quit. I can't do this job, and I quit, and that's probably the way I should
do it. No, you don't. No. Every day with this, Craig, you can't quit this much. It's not. It's confusing for HR. They have to keep doing your paperwork. No, please.
Every day we get bogged down with you quitting.
We have to deal with you quitting, then we have to rehire you. It's a whole thing.
I'm packing up my briefcase.
No, come on. No, you're not.
God, Craig,
is there a single box I can put my things into around here? I don't even know how to fold the box myself.
We haven't made a single box.
I'm going to go somewhere.
You know what? Honestly, Craig, you're so fucking qualified.
You have a PhD.
Yeah, and
barely
in team building.
Yeah,
you have a psychology. You got your master's in psychology.
Why are you working at this? Why are you a manager at this idiot box factory? We're morons.
See,
we're actually stupid.
That made me think of Tony Robbins. Who you all know Tony Robbins, right? Huge dude.
Yeah.
Yells at people. Had that documentary that was like, it's really magical what he does. And then this article came out about him, about how he was incredibly abusive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real
scumbag. No, I don't know that.
Yeah, I think like a year or two, an article came out. I actually don't have a concept of time anymore. It might have been like 3 or 4 years ago, but he was very abusive to the people that worked for him. And, also several people who like were traumatized already when they came in, he like traumatized even more.
Oh yeah. What was this thing? It'd be like, you got into a plane crash. if you would like make it their fault or something, or like, you got to just confront that right now and putting him on the spot. And
yeah. Like in that documentary, that was a big part of it, was like, he made a woman like call her boyfriend that she wasn't happy with and break up with him in front of everybody. And like, he uses kind of those pressure tactics on people. And
he had a whole like masculine thing, right? Like, roar, you're a man, roar.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He did that to this guy who was like a real, nebbish geek. That's a good way. It's like, no, you're gonna go, you're a man, you're gonna roar, and you're gonna have real sex with your wife tonight. And like, everyone's like, yeah. And the next day, they're like, how was the sex? And they're like, he was a lion, you know? It's like, but then, yeah, like that hard, it's just the, you know, there are so many bad men that you read a million articles, and I can't even remember like what his thing was now. But I know he works with the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, and he was like sitting right next to their bench during the playoffs. And it's always so funny to like see the thing and then 4 years later see him be like, oh, nobody seemed to do anything about it. He's just keeps
he's
going.
He's fine. For,
yeah. Is he canceled or anything, or he's just going?
I'm sure.
Seems like he's just like, he runs his own thing, so you can't really cancel him, I think. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like his, like, whatever his seminars or whatever, like they're wildly expensive and like super hard to get into. So yeah, I'm sure he's doing great. I don't think
I just know he had a cold plunge in his backyard.
The cold plunge.
Amazing.
That's my huge
amazing. It's probably 7 feet deep, you know, and he can just jump right in. Oh, I was like, I need one of those.
Yeah.
That looked so good.
To me, that's the thing about guys like him is like, we should all be able to like live in our success. But when you see the way certain people spend their money when they become really successful and they're self-help people, you're like, oh, you don't have values. You yeah. want to be rich. You know what I mean? Like, his stuff was so gaudy and like he seemed very clearly superficial at his core.
It's almost psychopathic.
Yeah.
You know totally. What I mean? Like it's like it feels like you're like kind of winking at everyone knowing that like I'm this is all just a ruse, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you think you would hide it and be like, oh, I just live in a modest house and like, because I want everyone to see me as a guru,
yeah.
and as a, you know, but they don't. They're like there was the Wild Wild Country guy with like 400 Rolls Royces and they're just like, what are yeah. you doing?
Well, it's like the Joel Osteen, like the churches that like greed is good. Like God wants you to be really, really rich. So like, and he wants you to have like four mansions and a private jet. So send money. Send money.
I think I like outwardly never want to make anyone feel bad for something that's meaningful to them. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you got something out of that. Great. But do you all have a thing that like if someone was like, this person I really think is smart or like this movie I really loved or like I'm thinking like with a therapist, if they had like a certain like artist on the wall, I'd be like, huh?
I hate to inform you, but that person sucks.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Like there was that guy who did that thing that everyone would take a picture of in Silver Lake that was like stand here and think of someone you love. And it was like a super Instagrammy. What's that?
Is that the guy with the balloons?
It might be balloon. There's so many. That might be like Thrash Bird or something. I can't remember. There's like a million. But this guy, I had heard tell that he did an ass cat and was like a real loser, you know, like a real self-involved loser. And so then I would start to see people post those pictures and think about that, you know, that it's like, yeah. And of course, that is such like a surface level piece of art. Stand here and think of someone you love. But like everyone's like, oh, he's so right. Then, I mean, the darker version of this is also it came out shortly after that he was like a sexual predator and it became even worse.
Oh,
but
no, so he was standing there and thinking of young children.
Or women that would go to Coachella with him. I think
okay. That was I immediately went to child molestation.
That's what...
Did you say women that wouldn't go to Coachella with him?
I think he would like drug women at Coachella. Now I'm like you know in that level again of like I'm losing the specifics. This was 7 years ago and there's so many of these people, but I would see people still having those pictures posted on Instagram and stuff. And you want to comment and be like, hey,
just so you know,
well, this is like not sexual predator, but I, right when Welcome to the Gift Shop came out, it was like the Banksy doc and it was Mr. Brainwash, you know, and the whole documentary is about how bullshit Mr. Brainwash is and how he's just like some guy. And it was right when it came out and I went to Soho House in New York City. And I'm telling this story because I want people to know that I went to the Soho House in New York City.
Wow.
But I was in the lobby. I was in the lobby and there was this huge painting and I recognized it, the style. It was like, you know, whatever, Elvis Presley holding a machine gun, you know, whatever those paintings were. And I asked the very snobby, like French, you know, front desk person. I was like, who painted that? And he was like, Mr. Brainwash. But he said it with so much pride, and I was like, oh, he doesn't
get it. You don't get it.
You don't get it. You don't get it at all.
Yeah, you know, it's a big loser going around on one of those, like, little half, what the wheelie things, that like, three-legged wheelie thing, because he fell down during his art opening.
And he made so much money, though. He sold that to the Soho
House. That's like such a perfect example, Laura. That's exactly what I was thinking. Is like, if my therapist had a thing up and she was like, it's a Mr. Brainwash, I'd be like, I think I have to see somebody. I think this is like my line. I also like things that confirm that I am smart, you know, or that I have a good read on people. And before Welcome to Gift Shop came out, I was in college here. And my girlfriend at the time's friends were going to that opening, that Mr. Brainwash thing.
Oh, really?
And we went, and I went with them and I fucking hated it. I was like, this is so stupid. This isn't, it's, you know, it's like a picture of Jimi Hendrix, but it, but he's playing Guitar Hero. And it's all just like ripoffs of Andy Warhol or like, yeah, just like that, that aesthetic. And so when that movie came out, I was like, yeah, just leaning back like, yeah, I am so good at reading people.
did anybody tell you you were wrong? You're like, no, this is art, and you're an idiot. You don't get it.
No, it wasn't. I mean, like, okay. I just kind of quietly judged everyone, which is easier for me to do, you know? I don't have a scene. I don't have a scene, you guys. We'll do one more call. How do we feel about that?
I love it.
Love it.
This is Lindsay in Florida.
Hi, my name is Lindsay, number one fan of the Man Dog Pod. Well, self-proclaimed anyway. So I used to live in Florida, and one summer night, I was driving home, and this woman jumped out in front of my car. She was wearing, like, a big puffy coat. Anyway, she said her car had broken down and asked if I could give her a ride. I said yes. So we're driving for about 15 minutes or so. She asked if I'll pull into a gas station, where she then starts panhandling for money. She gets back in the car, like, $12 richer. I gave her $5 as well. So we start driving. We get to a house where there's no lights on, no cars in the driveway. She's like, I'll be right back. So she goes into the house. She comes back out 20 minutes later and tells me I can now drive her home. So suddenly she's very chatty and is telling me about how she just got out of prison. She had a cellmate named Strawberry and a bunch of awful stuff. I drive her to her house, which is in my neighborhood. So she must have just walked out of her front door when she saw me turning and jumped in front of my car. So that is how I accidentally drove somebody to a drug deal. Okay, love you. Bye. Nervous. Bye.
Nothing to be nervous about, Lindsay. Thank
Good
you
story.
For the call. What was the last part that, that, how did she know it was a drug deal?
I think she's just assuming because okay. She was out front of the house for 20 minutes.
I think okay. She came back particularly chatty, seemed like maybe a thing.
Particularly chatty. Yeah. Got it. Got it. Like she collected cash and then got it.
Oh, honey, let's, I mean, you know, we've driven past this guy twice. Let's just pick him up.
I don't pick up hitchhikers. I'm not going back on that. I have a rule. I'm not going
yeah.
back on that.
Wasn't our whole thing with this trip that we need to start saying yes to risks, you know what I mean? That our lives are too
okay,
safe.
Okay, but honey, you don't have good instincts, okay? And this guy is fucking creepy.
Okay.
Okay? Look at him. Look in the rearview mirror. Look at him.
Okay, yeah. He just looks like he looks like he likes to dance. I don't know. That's
no, he's twitching, babe. See what I'm saying? You're saying dancing. He's literally twitching.
Okay.
All right. If anything, we can back up to him and we can give him some cash, okay?
That works.
And point him towards a bus station, but he's not getting in our car.
I hear you. Okay, great.
Okay.
Hi, excuse me.
Hi. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, honey. See? We just wanted to give you a few bucks here.
Oh, that's very generous. No, I couldn't accept charity. Really, I'm hoping to get a ride, if possible. Oh. Yeah, no, yeah, I don't like taking people's money. I'm having some car issues right now, and I'm looking to get a ride to work.
Where are your pants, or what happened to your pants?
The dog took them.
Your dog.
Oh, my God. I've had bad days before like that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was using the bathroom and a dog came and ripped my pants away and ran off with them.
And your underwear.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
Don't like taking charity. Don't like it. But okay. If you guys don't, it would happen to have a or swim trunks, anything that I could wear. Just, you're pretty exposed.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah. Babe, we'll give him the money like we talked about. We'll give him the money and then we'll...
He doesn't want the money. Yeah. He's a proud man.
I know.
He just needs to cover up.
Maybe you just put the money outside the window so we don't have to think about it anymore and then we can just drive
Why
away.
Why don't we do this?
I don't have to look
I have
at
some.
Pants.
Yeah, I have some pants in the trunk. I don't want to get out and open the trunk. So why don't I give you my pants from here and then we'll go forward a little bit and I'll get the pants from the trunk.
So you're taking your pants off right now. Oh, my God. Well, oh, my God.
Honey, it's a good compromise, right? He's not getting in the car. All right.
Yeah, just do it.
All right, there you go, sir. Yeah, my pants.
This is so, God bless you. This is so kind. You folks are some of the sweetest, most generous people I've ever met in my entire life. Thank you so much. If there's anything I could do to repay you, I'm a hard worker.
Can you tell me about the American Girl doll that you're holding?
It was my little girl's.
Okay. There's no little girl with you, though.
That's right.
You're just holding it.
Very, very
holding
observant.
A doll, and
she's not
and it
with
looks like
anymore.
You shaved the head of the doll, or somebody shaved the head of the doll?
I did. I shaved it.
Okay. Okay, honey. Yeah. So you see what I'm saying?
All I'm seeing is a man who maybe through a divorce or something maybe even worse is not even in touch with his daughter anymore, you know? And then
okay, honey, I'm seeing a man with his dick out holding an American Girl doll with a shaved head, okay? And I'm seeing he has aluminum foil on one of his feet and no shoes on the other feet, okay? And I'm seeing somebody that we really should not be conversing with and
folks,
we should drive
folks,
forward.
Folks, excuse me, folks. I'm sorry. Look. I get how this all looks. I've had one heck of a day. It's been, my dog stole my pants.
Right, you'd mentioned.
My daughter, it's the 1 year anniversary of when she got scalped.
Honey.
Oh my God.
Her got
Who
caught in a dress.
Scalped your daughter? Someone scalped?
But, I mean, no one did it to her. Her hair got stuck in the garbage disposal. And,
oh my God.
And to make her feel better, we shaved the doll's head. And anyhow, and then the shoes. I mean, you're probably wondering about the tinfoil on the shoes. And the,
yeah.
And one, no shoe on one foot, tinfoil on the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same dog. Same dog took my shoes, tossed it in the sewer. All I had was one sliver of tinfoil, not enough for both feet. So, no. Folks, I know it. I know.
Let me guess. The wheelchair full of dead crows next to you, that was just there, and all the crows were on the wire above you, and they all got electrocuted at the same time, and they all fell into the wheelchair, and it just happened to be right next to you, and you were just having a rough day.
They all fell at the same time, yes. But they didn't all fall exactly onto the wheelchair. I did pick them up. Because when I looked at it, I was like, oh, anyone seeing just a line of dead crows driving by might be like traumatizing, a little weird for people. So I thought, I'll collect them, put them all in one spot and figure out a way to dispose of these later. Eerie looking.
That's nice of you. That's really thoughtful. Unfortunately, I would love to give you a ride, but I don't think we're going to be able to today.
Oh.
But we've given you the pants and our time.
Hey. I don't need anything else from you. Nothing else from you. These pants, they fit like a dream. I really appreciate it. God bless the two of you.
Okay.
Wow. Wow, honey. He doesn't need anything else from us.
I guess we're just going to drive away. Can you just roll up the window for 1 second, please?
Sir, we're going to roll up the window real quick, but this isn't goodbye.
Oh, it's okay.
All right.
I mean, I even have to admit, he did have a good explanation for all the things that seemed very random, you know. Okay, let's just ask him where he wants to go.
Okay.
And if it's short.
Right. Because we're outside El Paso now and we're heading to Albuquerque. So if it's anything along the way or even a short detour, that's fine. All right. Sir, where are you headed?
Sea World San Antonio?
Sea. Well, we've done it again. A delightful episode. Ryan Meharry, where can people find you? And was there anything you'd like to plug?
You can find me on Twitter at Real Ryan Meharry and Instagram Ryan Meharry. Nothing to plug right now, but maybe in the future.
Thanks for being on the show. You made me laugh, as you always do. Laura Chin, we've got Acne, a memoir.
Yes. Buy it. Pre-order it. Acne, it's on, you know, anywhere you buy books. Pre-order it. I'll love you forever. I'm on Instagram. I'm Laura Chin with 4 N's.
Okay.
On Instagram.
So find Laura. You're doing a thing now where you're having people read excerpts from the book, right?
It's been fun.
Yeah, that's what a great idea. And it's a good way for people to get to know what's going to be in it. We, of course, over at Mandog, give it the Laura Chin Mandog stamp of approval. I know it's going to be good. God. We've never given that to anybody, by the way. That's huge. Just made it up today.
Oh my That's God. Huge. I had no I've idea. Never done that. Thank you so People much. Begged. Gosh, I got to tell my publisher. Yeah, no, this is
great. I've got Thank Jake you. Jabor's book, Trained to Be Myself, right there, and it didn't even get the stamp. Sorry, Jake.
Yay. I purchased that book.
It's great. And I feel that thing where since I'm not writing books, I feel like if I just buy all the ones that friends of mine wrote, I feel connected to writers and it makes me feel like I'm smart.
That's exactly right. If you buy like 5 of my books, you're even more connected.
Okay.
Oh. So yeah, pre-order.
Then you've practically written it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, buy 5 and it's your book, basically.
All right, 5 books and yeah, Laura will change the byline of hers. So that's exciting.
Fact. That's a fact.
Well, thanks for being here, Ryan and Laura. This was amazing. And everybody else listening, you're the man now, dog. Patreon.com/ you're the man now, dog. If you'd like to support us and you're not on the Patreon, you can get video of this and all our other episodes with guests, in addition to a weekly 2-man episodes with just myself and Ryan Rosenberg. We've been doing some fun stuff. We did a Zoom live stream just a few weeks ago with an amazing cast that was just for our patrons. So check out the Patreon even for a month if you're interested in joining that. And thanks again to our guests, and Brian Holmes, Hannah Rehack, Annie Wu, and Casey Trela. Bye.